If you have your Bibles with you today, open up to John chapter 1, Gospel of John chapter 1. We're going to begin with verse 35. Immediately prior to this scripture, Jesus is identified as the Christ. John the Baptist is doing what he's doing, what he usually does, probably baptizing, and he sees the day before this scripture, he sees Jesus coming towards him, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then he gives the testimony. He says, "This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw that Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.' I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" Now, I want you to think about this before we head into our scripture. That's a great testimony that John just had, John the Baptist just had, of who Jesus is. It's a wonderful testimony of who Jesus is. However, all John is doing there, is simply relating what happened to him personally. He said, "I know this is the Son of God because I've seen it. I've seen what I'm about to tell you." Folks, you and I are called to follow in the footsteps of John. Not in necessarily in baptizing people or anything like that, but we too are called to share Jesus simply by saying and sharing what we have seen and heard ourselves. That's all there is to witnessing, is seeing and telling what we know firsthand. That's all you have to do. We don't have any problems, or I don't know of anybody. I don't know of anybody that has a hard time sharing good news. As a matter of fact, when you have good news, that's the first inclination of your spirit is to share it. You just can't help yourself. You want to share it. And that should be our attitude in witnessing for the Lord. So, this is like a 4-day diary of John, of the Apostle John. The first day, day one, and we don't know the exact day, but let's just call it Monday. Just for convenience's sake. Monday, John the Baptist sees Jesus coming towards him, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now, Tuesday, verse 35, again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. We know from other readings and from later on in this reading, we know those two disciples were the Apostle John, or later the Apostle John, and Andrew. So the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples, John and Andrew, they heard him speak. And what did they do? Immediately, they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned. It doesn't say they said anything. It just says they're tracking him almost. They're following him. And then after a period of time, I suppose, Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" He does not ask them, "Who are you looking for?" He says, "What are you looking for?" And by the way, these are the first words that Jesus is recorded as saying in the Gospel of John. The very first words that he says in the Gospel of John, he says to these two men, Andrew and John, And he says that to us as well. What is it that you're seeking? What is it that you're looking for? And they don't answer him directly. They said to him, Rabbi, which is translated teacher. It's a very great term of respect. Where are you staying? And he said to them, come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. It was now about the 10th hour. I think what they were actually inferring here, sometimes in asking a question, you can actually be inferring something else. And what I think that Andrew and John were saying to Jesus when they said, where are you staying? They're actually saying, can we stay with you? Can we stay with you tonight? We want to have some time with you alone. We want to have some private time with you. And the scripture here says that it was about the 10th hour. And I want you to realize something here. John, the apostle John who wrote this, is being written many, many years later. Maybe a couple, three decades later is when he writes the gospel. But this moment is so embedded in his memory. It is so embedded in his memory that he recalls distinctly, it was about the 10th hour. You recall certain great events in your life, and it's just imprinted in your memory the time of day that it happened. And it happened about the 10th hour, which is about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. This is about the time that people are starting to wrap up their day activities. They're perhaps, if they're not at home, they're looking for a place to stay that night. And so it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they had this conversation with Jesus. One of the two who heard John speak, John the Baptist speak, and followed him, Jesus, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. We don't know a lot about Andrew from the scriptures, but where we will see Andrew in the scriptures from this point forward, he's always inviting somebody, or he's always introducing somebody to Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon, and he said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. So they spend that time with Jesus. They go home with him wherever he's staying at 4 o'clock. They spend that evening with him. I'm sure that Jesus discussed the scriptures with them. I'm sure he probably pointed out the scriptures that indicated that he was the Christ that they have been waiting for. And in their conversation that night and from their previous days, what they heard with John the Baptist, they have become convinced, John and Andrew, that this is indeed the Christ. And so what does Andrew do the next day? Let's call the next day Wednesday. What's he do that next day? First thing, he gets up and he goes and finds his brother. He goes and finds his brother because he's got great news and he cannot help himself. He has to share it. The greatest news of all, we found the Christ. And then he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. So Andrew, the first thing he does, he goes and finds his brother and says, come on, I got to introduce you to him. I got to show this fellow to you. He's the one we've been waiting for. He is the Christ. And so he is brought to Jesus. And immediately, as Jesus looks at him, this is their first time, I guess, physically meeting. Jesus looks at him and he renames him. He said, your name's Simon, son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. God, the Lord, does that for us. He doesn't see us as we are. He sees us as we can be in him. And he's saying to this fisherman, whom he just met, I'm going to rename you. You're going to be the rock. You're going to be the rock. I mean, even today, you want an imposing sounding name? The guy in Hollywood, The Rock. That's what you're gonna call yourself, the rock. And here's Jesus saying, you might not feel like it now, but I'm renaming you. The rock. The rock. Jesus looks at you the way you can be in him. Let's just lay aside, and quit being dominated by what you were, by what you've done, by the mess that you've made, or even by the successes that you've had up to this point. Lay that aside and begin to see yourself through the eyes of Jesus and what you could be when you give yourself to him. These men that are being introduced to Jesus, they don't know what they could be. They don't know that yet. Jesus does. They don't. You may think to yourself, I don't think I can be much of anything, or I don't think I can be a good servant of Jesus. Listen, you don't know that. Jesus does. And Jesus is calling you because he already knows what you can become. Who are you? Who are we to contradict Jesus? He is saying to us, I have great plans for you. I'm going to do something special through you. And so Simon is renamed the stone. The following day, next day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. That's about a 70-mile trip. That's about a 3-day trip north. Following day, he wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So Philip, Andrew, Peter, they were all from the same town, all from the same place. They knew each other. And apparently, we're not really told much of anything else here, but apparently when Jesus found Philip, it says he found him, he was searching for him. Did you know that before, a long time before you ever found Jesus, Jesus was looking for you? He was after you. And finally, here he found Philip, and he said simply to him, follow me. And apparently Philip said, okay, I'm in. And what is the first thing Philip does? He found Nathanael, and he said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now back then you didn't say, I found who I'm looking for, I found Bob Smith. Don't say that. You weren't identified by your surnames back then. Instead, you were identified by where you were from and who your family was. And so you wouldn't say, I found Bob Smith. You'd say, I found Bob from Fredericktown. He's the son of Joe. That's how you would introduce him back in that day. And so Philip says to Nathanael, we found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote. I mean, that's a lot to take in. That's a big leap to make about somebody that you've just met. But Philip is so convicted about who Jesus is that he says, we have found the one that this book has been talking about. We have found the one that we've been waiting for all these hundreds and indeed thousands of years, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Anything good come out of Nazareth? Because Nazareth is a nondescript town. It's not even mentioned in the Old Testament. It's considered to be kind of a sinful city. There was a Roman army garrison stationed there and all the sin that attended that. And it was just known as kind of a sleazy place. And yet, So Nathanael, he's saying, all right, Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? And here's what Philip said. Come and see. Folks, when you introduce someone to Jesus, when you bring someone to Jesus and they start putting up arguments and they start saying, well, what about this? And what about that? Don't get in a big, long argument with them. Here's what you do. You do what Philip did. You say, just come and see. Just come and see. Experience it for yourself, and then you'll understand what I'm talking about. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before Philip called you, when you were under the tree, I saw you. There is a teaching in the Talmud, of the Jewish scripture, that says that in the middle of the day, during the heat of the day, if you're really devoted to the Lord, you should sit under a tree in the shade and kind of reflect and meditate upon the scriptures. And apparently Nathanael was doing that, and Jesus saw him sitting under the tree, and that made an impression. And so Nathanael's astonished at this, insight into who he is by this man who he's never met. And so Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. I mean, he addresses him in such overwhelming language of praise. Nathanael is convicted of who Jesus is, and he immediately says, I give myself to you. And Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? You will see greater things than these. Nathanael has just met Jesus, and he's just had a very short conversation with Jesus, and he thinks that's the greatest thing that's ever happened to him, and it is, by the way. But Jesus says, you think that's something? You think that's something? He said, you ain't seen nothing yet. You haven't seen anything yet. You will see greater things than these. And the Lord is saying to you today, you may have had a wonderful salvation experience. God has done wonderful things through you. But Jesus is saying, you think that's great? You will see greater things than these. Because the best days for the Christian, for those who are followers of Jesus, is always ahead. Always ahead. We always have so much to anticipate. Always so much to look forward to. It's fine to look back to the good old days, but we're not to dwell there because better days are ahead. And he said to him, Jesus said to Nathanael, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus is saying, boy, you think you've seen some great things? You're going to see heaven opened and the angels coming down and going up. And what this is a reference to is the Old Testament scripture where Jacob's ladder, he lies down one night and he has a vision. Where he's at, the ladder of God, the stairway to God, comes down from heaven, and he sees the angels ascending and descending. And Jesus is basically saying, with what he is saying to Nathanael here, I am the stairway to God. I am the way. It's a little earlier form of I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm telling you. When we follow the Lord, we will see great, great and mighty things. The Lord will reveal himself to us, and it'll be amazing. Things that we cannot even now comprehend. There's a picture up there which I'll explain to you. Our hearts should break when we see people who are taking the wrong path. People who are trying to find stairs to heaven, but they're the wrong stairs. In the 19th century, there was a lady named Sarah Winchester. She was the heir to the Winchester rifle fortune. The Winchester rifle, you've heard of it probably. It was the main weapon, the mainstay weapon during the Civil War. And Sarah Winchester, the heir to the fortune, that fortune of that company, felt so guilty that her family had invented the Winchester rifle. She felt so guilty about that that it weighed on her, and it began to affect her. And as time went by, she had some other unfortunate things happen to her. Her husband died, and then her daughter died, and this sent her spiraling into depression and mental illness. And so what did she do to try and pick herself up out of that? The wrong thing. She went to a medium. And the medium said, oh, the spirits are displeased. The spirits are displeased because you have done this. The spirits are displeased because your family made their fortune off of the deaths of other people. So here's what you must do. Here's what you must do. The medium told her, you must begin construction or begin an addition on your home. And you must keep building. And you must keep building. And you must keep building in an attempt to appease the spirits. You must never stop building. You must never stop building. If you stop building, you will die. And she and her weak state, she took that advice and she began to build. She began to build on to what's known as the Winchester Mansion, which you can go out in California and you can visit it even today. You can visit it today. But she heeded the words, and so she kept building on and kept building on. She never stopped. For 38 straight years, 24 hours a day, without ever a break, she built onto the house and had construction done on the house for 38 consecutive years, 24 hours a day. Well, at some point in time, you just kind of run out of things to build. And so the hallmark of this odd house, which is now a tourist attraction, the hallmark of this house, you have stairs all over the place that lead to nowhere. They lead to nowhere, and that's an instance of them. You're going up a stairs. Why do you go up a stairs? You go up a set of stairs in anticipation of the room that you're going to see or the space that you're going to see. But in this mansion built by this troubled woman, you go up the stairs and then, bam, you hit a wall and that's it. That's it. How sad when people try and construct stairways to heaven, stairways that will lead to peace, and they lead nowhere. We do the same thing when we try and build stairways or ladders to heaven apart from Jesus Christ. We do the same thing. They ultimately lead to nowhere. And that is so sad. That is so sad. Perhaps you have spent significant portions of your life building stairways that were not leading to Jesus Christ, and perhaps you're at the point now in your life where you realize, you know what, the way I'm going, it's leading nowhere. It's leading nowhere. And I need to go on the right path. I need the right set of stairs. I really need the right ladder now if I'm ever going to get where I want to go. And Jesus says to you what he said to Philip, follow me. Follow me. I imagine, never been there, I imagine I could very easily get lost in this odd house. So Jesus comes along and says, follow me. I'll take you where you need to go. And Jesus is saying the same thing to me, or to all of us today, follow me. Maybe you need to get on the right path. And you're tired of going up seemingly a never-ending set of stairs that's in truth leading nowhere. Today the altar is open and the invitation is given. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what your circumstance is. But I say to you, the same thing Jesus said to Philip, follow him. Follow him. He will lead you where your heart yearns to go. He will lead you to a place of peace and safety and eternal life. Do you need to know the Lord? Do you need to be on the right path? Today the altar is open. Today the invitation is given. The Lord is calling you in much the same way He called His disciples. Follow me. Follow me. And as you do, He will take you to places you cannot even imagine. Little did Andrew, John, Philip, Peter, Nathaniel, little did those five know when they said yes to Jesus on these couple of days that Jesus through them would turn the world upside down. They didn't know that, but Jesus did. Jesus knows exactly who you are. He knows what He can do through you, and it's something amazing. So today, my closing words to you are follow Him. The altar is open and the invitation given.